Good evening, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, and welcome to another episode of Steelers Friday Night Six Pack. I am your host, as always, Tony DeFeo, and I thank you for joining me on this lovely Friday evening. According to my computer on my screen, I have a new feature. It just popped up. I don't know where it came from. It's 72 degrees on June 11th, 2021, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's where I'm at. Crafting, to be precise, but don't leave flowers in front of my door. I'm not that famous. Anyway, I thank you for joining me as always. And before I get started, I encourage everybody to please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where we bring you, I dropped something. Anyway, we bring you live shows each and every night during the week and on the weekends. We have The Hangover on Monday with yours truly and Brian Anthony Davis. That's every Monday at 8 o'clock. Please check that out. There's the Scobro Show with Dave Schofield and his brother Rich. Tuesday nights, there is the Curtain Call with Michael Beck and Jeffrey Benedict on Wednesday evening. There is the Steelers Preview with Jeff Hartman, Dave Schofield, and Brian Anthony Davis, the podcasting manager, on Thursday evenings. And, of course, there's this show on Friday nights. Saturday evening, we have Touchdown Under with Matty Peverall and Mark Davison. And then Sunday morning, usually around 9 a.m., sometimes later, we have, what's he call himself? Mr. 2 a.m. Tales from 2 a.m. That's right. With Brian Anthony Davis. That's a great fun show, especially in the off season. So please check all those out. And you can find all of those shows on any audio platform, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it, whatever audio platform you want to use, we're on there and we're growing in popularity. You can believe that. So please check it out. So much content, even in this time of year, people, they're always churning out new stuff. They're always thinking of ideas. Jeff, Dave, Brian, Michael, Shannon, Kevin, Jeffrey, me, kind of, Dave, Rich. I probably named people twice, but they're always thinking of stuff to bring you Steelers, interesting, nuanced Steelers material. And, of course, the same can be said for Behind the Steel Curtain, the editorial side, the website, where we bring you news, commentary, film breakdown. Anytime there's news, anytime there's a transaction, that's a hardworking site. It's always active. They're always bringing you stuff, so please check that out whenever you can. You won't be sorry. And thank you all for joining me in the live chat. Steelers Pittsburgh, Steeler Chick 46, Ryan O'Toole, Robert Mullins, George Testens. Boy, I'm talking really fast tonight. Thanks, Mean Joe. The iconic commercial from 1979. Clarence Washington, Ryan O'Toole, a legend, Ryan O'Toole. Mr. Hammer, ZZ. He says, hey, Tony, Jared Devil, Arthur. I'm going to try this last name, Esquibel. If I didn't get that right, I'm sorry. I did okay in school, but, you know, not okay enough to be able to pronounce everything in English. But that's just, you know, my failures. So I thank you all for joining me. I hope to bring you a fun show tonight. And the first thing I wanted to talk about, as the title suggests, is the ground game for 2021, the Steelers' new ground game. And when I say new, I'm saying it's new because it's going to include all new personnel for the most part. I read about this the other day. You know, when people mentioned the ground attack from last year, and last year there was a reason to be down on the running game last year. The Steelers finished 32 in yards. They finished 32nd in yards per attempt, yards per carry. They scored 12 touchdowns. They finished 27th in that category. I'm sure they finished low in many advanced stats. I didn't check those out, but yeah, it wasn't a good year for the ground game. We all know this. We all know it, and it's a major cause of angst for the fans, for the media, for the players, for the coaches, for the owner, for the GM. Everybody is hard at work trying to fix that ground game, and in people are wondering if it's going to be good in 2021. And as I wrote about on Thursday, when it was published on Thursday, my article. I don't know, and neither does anybody else. You know why? Because it's brand new personnel, as I just said a moment ago. Matt Canada is a coordinator. He's likely going to try to make it a more productive in 2021, but the entire offensive line is different. I mean, it really is going to be different in 2021. Big Al is gone. Alejandro Villanueva, he's gone. Marquise Pouncey retired. Matt Father left as a free agent. So it's going to be a completely different unit. Shuks Okorafor is moving from right tackle to left tackle, presumably to beat a starter. But I mean, even if he isn't the starter, somebody else will be. Kevin Dotson, the fourth round pick from last year, he's going to be playing left guard, presumably. We like to hope so because he really performed well last year when in his spot duty for injured players, specifically David DeCastro. So hopefully he wins that. He better win that starting job at left guard. As far as center, nobody knows for sure who's going to be the center, but it's going to be somebody different. Hopefully Kendrick Green. Hopefully he comes in as a third round pick and just totally outclasses BJ Finney and JC Hassenauer, because that would be what's best for business for the Steelers. So you're going to have a new center. Obviously right guard's going to be David DeCastro. Hopefully he'll be healthy this year. He was obviously hurt all last year. I don't know. He suffered an ab injury in training camp, I believe. And he was never quite right. I mean, you could tell when he did interviews, and you can obviously tell with his play on the field that he just was not his usual Pro Bowl self. So hopefully he'll regain his form last year. And I can't imagine him as consistent as he was over the course of the first 9 years of his career, 8 years of his career. I can't imagine him just totally falling off a cliff last year for no reason other than health. So if he's healthy, if he's 100%, then I think you're going to have the old David DeCastro back, which can only be great news for the Steelers in both pass protection and on the ground. And of course, at right tackle, you're going to have Zach Banner. He won the job last year. He beat out Shooks for the right tackle spot in training camp, just barely. In fairness to Shooks, it was a close competition. But he'll be back this year to presumably be the starting right tackle. So you're going to have a whole new line. You're going to have a new offensive coordinator. The new line has a new coach in Adrian Clem, who, by all accounts, is extremely aggressive with his approach to teaching the line. I'm sure technique's an important part of his teaching, but he's really emphasizing being aggressive and smacking your opponent in the mouth, that kind of the smash mouth thing that Steelers fans love. He seems to be all about that, and of course they brought in some guys who love that. Kevin Dotson is that kind of aggressive player. Kendrick Green is. Zach Banner's the quote unquote road grader, and of course DeCastro is just a perennial All Pro when healthy. So Shooks, I'm not sure about yet as far as his run blocking abilities, but I know he's projected to be a better left tackle than right tackle. So maybe just the fact that he'll switch over to a position that's more natural for him, it'll improve his performance. So, and of course you have Najee Harris, the running back, the first round pick. He's at least in college, he's a stud. He was a stud. And the fact that they have him, makes the ground game better, at least on paper, because you have somebody who's head and shoulders better than anybody else in the backfield that they have on the roster. He's better than Benny Snell. He's better than Ballage. He's better than Anthony McFarland, I think. Speaking of which, that's another person I think we should be more excited about than we really are, is Anthony McFarland, the guy with the 4.3 speed coming out of Maryland last year. He didn't look necessarily great in his limited playing time. He looked overly excited. He looked like he was running in place on a lot of his rushing attempts before he was like moving his feet before, getting falling to the ground. But, he was a nervous rookie who didn't have many opportunities. So I think him playing in a system that he's more familiar with in Matt Canada's system, because he played for him at Maryland, that could benefit him, and that can certainly benefit the Steelers as a whole. So, you know, I get why everybody's nervous and kind of negative about the ground game based on last year, but you have to throw all that out the window. None of that matters. You know, you have to strip all that away, and you're essentially starting over. So, yeah, it could be bad again. I can't imagine it being as bad as it was last year, because I don't think anybody could be as bad as they were last year. But it could also be a lot better. I'm not saying they're going to be a top five rushing team. I don't think they are. But if you're even in the middle of the pack running the ball, that's going to be a dramatic improvement. It's going to help that passing game so much, because obviously teams won't, you know, we know what the problem was last year. But by the end of the year, teams were just ignoring the run and playing the short pass, because that's mostly what they did, with the exception of that the second half of that Colts game in week 16, it was all short passes. They basically abandoned the run, and even when they did try to run it, it was not effective. So, you know, even if you improve to the middle of the pack on the ground in 2021 as a team, as an offense, it's gonna benefit the offense as a whole. So that's the first topic I wanted to cover. See if we have any new people. Here's one from Brian Brown, who joins us via YouTube, and he says having a running back will help too, meaning I almost said Snell. Ooh, those might be fighting words. Meaning Harris. I don't know if I'm the only one to notice, says Brian. James Conner, Benny Snell, or that McFarland kid has had vision. Has no vision whatsoever. Najee Harris should remedy that. Well, I think Conner had more abilities than you're giving him credit for, Brian. I think he was a really good player. He just maybe didn't have elite vision, but he was a good running back. His main issue was health, you know. And I think Harris is definitely a more talented player. He just has to prove it at the pro level. So, all right, now I'm going to get into some kind of fun stuff to round out the show, even though it's still early, but I don't have anything serious to talk about tonight. I think last week was really heavy with everything with Stefan Tuitt. So I'm going to try to keep things lighter this week. And next thing I wanted to talk about was something that I don't know if I should talk about this now or wait. Yeah, I'm going to talk about it now. And that's, something I forgot about from my youth involving the Steelers, and that was the 1985 season and the war of words that took place. If you can believe this, imagine this taking place today. There was a war of words in the paper in the media between Chuck Noll, the legendary Chuck Noll, the guy who according to Tunch Ilkin could make his players lose bladder control just by a menacing stare. There were war words between him and little old South African kicker Gary Anderson, meek and mild Gary Anderson, the field goal kicker, the legendary kicker from the 80s and early 90s. A war of words based on the performance, not of him, not of the kicking team, but of the basically the special teams as a whole, but mainly the coverage units, which were abysmal that year. I looked at some stats prior to the show, because I wanted to – that 85 team, that was the first year that Pittsburgh finished below 500 since 1971. You know, they had that – obviously that magnificent Super Bowl run in the 70s, and they were pretty good. They were fairly competitive in early to mid-80s, but that's 85 team was the first team to finish below 500. That's 7-9, barely missed the playoffs. But if you look at their stats, they weren't great on offense and defense, but they were pretty darn good. They passed for 3,100 yards. They rushed for almost 2,200 yards. Frank Pollard came within 9 yards of hitting 1,000 yards. Walter Abercrombie, believe it or not, had 851 yards on the ground. So they were a good offense, not great, but good, and a really good defense. The offense finished 13th in yardage, but the defense finished 6th overall. It was a really good defense. They took the ball away 34 times, you know. But what really killed them were was the return game, the special teams. You know, they gave up so many critical touchdowns and long plays in the punt and kickoff game, and it cost them games. It cost them games all throughout the season. You know, if that was shored up, then they probably would have made the playoffs. And one of the things that made Anderson so frustrated is that, according to him, they only spent like 45 minutes a week on special teams during the week in practice. You know, all of Knoll's efforts, and Chuck Knoll was the special teams coordinator. People may not remember that or even know that, but he was the special teams coordinator back then. And he was even quoted as saying, look, we don't have time to go over everything. You know, we there's so much time dedicated to offense and defense. We don't really have time to devote a lot to special teams. I mean, this is Chuck Knoll saying that. Could you imagine a war of words between Mike Tomlin and Chris Boswell today, and Tomlin saying, well, what are you going to do? We don't have time to cover special teams. You know, people would lose their minds. I don't even know if Tomlin would retain his job if he said that today. So that's what went on back then. And if you're a historian of the Steelers, or if you remember the 70s, you know that their special teams were awful in the 70s. All throughout their entire Super Bowl run, Roy Girella was just an average kicker. You know, Brian and I were actually talking about this today on the Retro Show. You know, he helped create Jack Lambert's legacy because he missed that field goal in Super Bowl X, and Cliff Harris decided to be a punk, you know, to quote our own Kevin Smith, and Jack Lambert went over and took care of business. But if Roy Girella was a little bit more accurate with his field goals, Jack Lambert might not be as famous today. You know, but Roy Girella was awful. Bobby Walden, who was the punter through the first two Super Bowls, he was pretty average. He was pretty bad. And you know, the fact that the Steelers went for it, if you remember the end of Super Bowl X, or if you know about the end of Super Bowl X, they went for it on 4th and 9. It was a simple running play on 4th and 9 to Rocky Blyer. And the reason why they did that is because Chuck Knoll was scared that a punt would get blocked at the end of the game. He didn't want to have a punt blocked. He trusted his defense a lot, of course, but he also was definitely afraid of a punt being blocked, because I think two of them were almost blocked throughout the game. And the opening kickoff was taken back for like 50, 60 yards by Hollywood Henderson on a reverse. So I mean, it wasn't a great day for special teams. And I guess my point I'm trying to make is, even a legend like Chuck Knoll, a first ballot Hall of Famer, a guy who went in, a year after he retired, which I guess all coaches are eligible as soon as they retire. But he had his weak spots. He had his blind spots. And one of those was he didn't really care about special teams. He literally didn't care about it. And it frustrated the heck out of Gary Anderson. And they battled in the media. People always obviously know about the famous Terry Bradshaw and Chuck Knoll feud. But Terry and Gary Anderson had a brief battle in the media for a year or two. And I thought that was pretty, it's something I forgot about, but I was watching something on YouTube about it. I got into a little wormhole. This guy, his name is, YouTube name is Jaguar Gator. I guess he's a Gator / Jaguars fan, but he puts a lot of great content up, and he details a lot of great stuff from the past NFL history. And I love watching it, but anyway, he talked about that season. I completely forgot about it. I was like 13 at the time, so I guess it's easy to forget about something like that. But think about something like that happening today. And I guess to repeat my point, even legends like Chuck Knoll have flaws. So on that note, I will bring a close to part one of tonight's show. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, please stay with me. I will be right back. If you are following along on an audio platform, thank you for downloading part one, and please stick around for part two, where I will talk about some more fun things, including bad weather games and my experiences with them, and I want to get your feedback too. But anyway, please download part two of this episode of Steelers Friday Night Six-Pack.